Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, author of the popular self-help books, Become Relationship Smart Without a Lifetime of Psychotherapy, and my other one, I'm Talking, Are You Listening? Fix Communication Problems with Your Partner in No Time Flat. I'm also a psychotherapist at my private practice, the Couple Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bringing you podcasts about all kinds of relationship issues, information, and lots of tools. Stay tuned for tonight's 45-minute episode. Tonight, Wednesday, November 16, 2016, and the title of the episode is How Emotionally Focused Therapy, EFT, Can Transform Your Marriage. If you're in a marriage or a committed relationship struggling with difficult interactions, then this episode is for you. You'll learn that these dynamics, however unpleasant, are normal and, most importantly, that they're changeable. Now, I was going to have two guests tonight. One was Jill Fisher, a certified EFT trainer and supervisor and the founder of the New England Center for EFT. But unfortunately, Jill is sick. She's been hospitalized tonight, so hopefully she'll be okay, and I will definitely invite her back for a future show when I'm sure listeners are going to want me to go into more detail about EFT with Jill at a later point. But I have my other guest, Naomi Rather, and I'm very fortunate to have her because Naomi is a psychotherapist in private practice in Newington, New Hampshire. I know her from way back. Her areas of specialty include couples, trauma and bereavement, and grief. And Naomi, she's a woman of many talents. She's certified in eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, popularly known as EMDR, a very, very critically important treatment. And she's working towards certification in emotionally focused couples therapy, EFT, a service that she too provides to individuals and couples. Naomi can be reached for an appointment at rathercounseling.com. That's R-A-T-H-E-R, counseling.com. Now, one technical point. If you've called into the studio at 877-497-9046, you can join us live with questions or comments by dialing 1 on your phone, and you'll be in line to come on the air. Now, please, 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 don't be shy. We will love a conversation with guests. It makes the shows much more interesting. But if you cannot stay for the whole live episode, you can listen to the podcast afterward at blogtalkradio.com/Susan Lager. And I think what I'm going to do is just stop at a few key points for questions so you know that you're not going to be interrupting the conversation. That generally helps people feel less shy about asking a question. Anyway, hello, Naomi. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm so glad to be here, Susan.
I'm really glad to have you. And, you know, we recently had lunch and had a very exciting conversation about your work in EFT. You got me all revved up. So you were really the inspiration for this show, I will have you know.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah. So why don't we start, why don't we get right to it? And I'm wondering if you can say something, as somebody who's been doing EFT with couples, if you can say something about what is emotionally focused therapy and how is it different from other forms of couples therapy?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think for a lot of years, psychology was kind of centered around the individual and individual needs, and you almost were made to feel like there was something wrong with you if you needed connection. But EFT, which was developed in the 80s, is based on the scientific research of adult attachment and bonding, And that really says that as human beings, we are hardwired for strong emotional bonds. And so with EFT, we recognize that when couples have a secure attachment, then both partners feel calm and connected and centered and safe, and there really isn't anything that they can't talk about. So this model has now about 20 years of research backing it up and showing that 70 to 75% of couples move completely from distress to recovery with this treatment, and nearly 90% show significant improvement. And I have to tell you, as somebody who was trained 25 years ago in cognitive behavioral couples therapy, I really started to see a huge difference. So I feel like I've lived this. It really works.
Wow, exciting stuff. Very, very exciting stuff. And how nice to have empirical research that validates the success rate, because often in our field, success is kind of anecdotal and subjectively experienced rather than something that's measurable, which is problematic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I find is as more people learn about EFT and get trained in it, there are more research projects kind of popping up. I actually got an email about, and I thought this was really exciting, about doing EFT with gay and lesbian couples, with couples that are maybe from different cultures. You know, there's the applications of this are pretty endless. So it's exciting to see that it's still being researched today.
That's great. That's wonderful. So it's really expanding. It's expanding as a treatment form, and it's expanding in its application.
Absolutely. It is. It definitely was created for couples, but I also use it in my individual sessions because we all need connection, you know, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship, or it's between a parent and a child, we all long for connection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I'm wondering if you could create a picture for our listeners of what it looks like when it's happening, what a couple might experience, what they might see happening, what the therapist is actually doing in EFT that they might not be doing in more traditional forms of couples therapy.
Sure. So in most traditional therapies, which not to use too much psychobabble, right, which we would call cognitive behavioral, it sort of starts with thinking. And so those therapies tend to focus on changing people's thoughts and behaviors. And so a couple might be in a room and you might help them, let's say, not swear at each other, but kind of talk to each other at a cognitive level. And, you know, they might say something like, I need you to do the dishes after dinner or something like that. Or, you know, I get very frustrated when you leave the wet towels on the floor, that kind of thing. But what EFT is based on is the idea that it's negative emotions that are driving these behaviors. And so if we sort of stay on the top layer and we just keep talking about the behaviors and we don't get at the root, we're really not getting anywhere. So in those same examples, let's say with the dishwasher, well, you know, we might kind of slow it down. EFT tends to go much more slowly than I'm probably talking, than traditional therapies. And so somebody might start by saying, you know, it just pisses me off because I cook the dinner and he's supposed to, or she's supposed to unload the dishwasher or load the dishwasher and she doesn't do it. And then we would kind of slow that down and say, well, and when she or he doesn't unload the dishwasher, you know, what do you tell myself? What do you tell yourself? And well, I tell myself that she doesn't even really care about me, that I don't even mean anything. Wow. And what's that like? Well, you know, it's pretty awful. I feel pretty lonely. And then we might kind of get them down, you know, I call it sort of dropping down even deeper into the emotion. Because usually what is underneath is kind of feelings of insecurity. Sometimes, even though intellectually we might know that it's not the case, we might kind of feel like if you really cared about me or if you really loved me, you would know that I'm overwhelmed. And what we do with EFT is we make what's implicit, you know, what you're subjectively experiencing on the inside, we help you make that explicit so that your partner can know that. And, you know, as you can imagine, Susan, it's pretty different if somebody comes at you with, you never empty the dishwasher, or if they come at you and maybe they have tears in their eyes and it's much softer and it's much slower and they say, I feel so overwhelmed and I don't know how to tell you that I'm feeling like I need reassurance, but I really need to know that I'm supported in this moment and I'm feeling overwhelmed and I need some help, you know, you're likely to get a pretty different response.
So you get to the underneath layer that drives the complaint, the vulnerability underneath the complaint.
That's exactly it. And so instead of having this, we use the figure eight to talk, and we talk about the sort of dance or pattern of the relationship, and it sort of has no end and no beginning. And if you stay up there talking about wet towels on the floor or dishes or you never and you always, you really don't drop down to what's at the heart of it. And I have to say that it's not that I think I did terrible work before, but I think in my earlier years as a couples therapist where I was really just trained in the cognitive behavioral, what I would find is, well, you could teach people those skills, right? So you could teach them to use I statements, I feel unimportant when you, but if a person gets triggered and they're in that awful dark place where they feel like they don't matter, they're not going to be able to use those skills anyway. So what I found was, well, you could teach people these skills, but they didn't end up using them when they were in the heat of it. And so EFT teaches you how to step out of the heat of it and drop down into those softer places where you can really hear your partner and show up for them.
And do you find that that's also the case when people are really enraged with each other and in a very fast exchange of defensiveness?
Well, that's a really excellent question, Susan. That's a big reason why we like to slow it down, because usually there's a lot of material that's in there when a person's talking really quickly. Because what actually is happening is, and sorry again to use therapy talk, but they get triggered, meaning something goes off in their body. There's some kind of alarm bell that tells them, boy, something's really just happened here. And then without maybe even realizing it at a conscious level, they're making an assessment, they're assigning meaning, and not only about themselves but about their partner. So again, you might get that, you don't even care, you don't really love me, and maybe what's under that is I'm not really lovable. And then what they're going to do is have that behavior or that action tendency, which as you just named, that might be screaming at somebody, this is what I do, I attack you. And so it's really important in EFT that we slow it down and kind of take it frame by frame. And what I find is that really helps settle people, you know, because when we're in that kind of jacked up place, it's, we're really not going to hear each other. There's not too much productive that's going to happen. So by slowing it down, sometimes you have to take some deep breaths and really
It's funny because,
Just really understanding what, just like you said, what's underneath it, what's at the root of it, what are the emotions driving these behaviors?
I found that it's very helpful when I encourage partners in a relationship to use a statement like, when you do that or you say that, I feel blah, blah, blah. What I tell myself is blah, blah, blah. So you get to the meaning, and often the what I tell myself is, I guess I just don't matter that much to you. I guess I tell myself I'm not appreciated, I'm not valued, I'm not respected. So it sounds like you not only get to the thought, the meaning making, but you connect even more deeply with the thought and the feeling of the wish to feel valued, the wish to feel connected, the experience of loss of connection.
Absolutely. So you're doing a version of EFT, right? You're definitely
yeah.
got the top couple of layers there, which is beautiful. And what EFT does is it takes it down another few layers. And the thing about it is that nobody grows up. I don't know what a perfect family is, but you know, I'm sure I didn't grow up in one, and I'm sure I didn't create one, right? We miss a tune sometimes. We miss things. And so what usually happens when people get triggered, right, when those alarm bells go off and they kind of go after their partner, it usually is some kind of earlier attachment injury that is getting, you might say, triggered or reawakened, right? So mm-hmm. in your example, you know, when you didn't do this, I feel unimportant and I tell myself that you don't care about me. And that what we're going to do is help that person then drop down deeper and kind of float to and recognize, you know, and this is a really tender place and it's not easy for people to go to these places, but recognize, you know, there's this part of me that's afraid maybe I'm not really worthy of somebody noticing me. And that's uh-huh. and that's an old feeling that I really don't like to let people see, right? Because it's pretty hard for us to be vulnerable. It's a lot easier to be angry. And so
do you, in this work, do you teach partners, do you teach couples to learn about each other's, I think of them as minefields. I talk with couples about how we all bring our own personal minefield into our relationship, you know, areas of vulnerability. And they're basically experiences in the past of sort of disrupted attachment, feeling negated in some way, feeling neglected in some way, feeling put down. Are you likely in this work to have a session with couples where you have them share that with each other, either from their history, or is it more organic where you just kind of get to it in the moment?
That's a really excellent question. So it's absolutely a part of the model, and they will get there. But they will get there organically. There's a saying that Sue Johnson, who is the creator of EFT, said that really kind of stopped me in my tracks. And for me, it really summarized this model. And she said, people don't get better from explanations. They get better from experiences. And mm-hmm. I have found this true. So if I sit there as the therapist or I have, it's not like I'm telling them what to do, but if I ask a partner, hey, can you give your history and sort of make this announcement, that's going to feel like an explanation. And it's not going to land in the same way that if that partner softens, slows down, softens their voice, their facial expression softens, the anger kind of melts away, and maybe they have tears in their eyes, and they talk about this really painful attachment injury, then their partner is going to really show up for them. They're going to be able to tune into them, we call it attunement, and really be there to catch them in that raw space. And my experience is that's where the change happens, not in an explanation.
Yeah, so it's not a... an intellectual exercise. It's more of an organic kind of unfolding of feeling.
You got it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to want to ask you about structurally how this looks different to couples, but we have a question, and I like
okay.
to capitalize on questions when they come in because people either forget them or they get distracted or they have to empty the dishwasher or whatever. So I'm going to bring in a caller in with a question. Okay, Naomi?
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hi, Susan. Thank you very much for a very interesting show this evening. And thank you, Naomi. I have a question for Naomi. I don't know if I misheard you, that you said that traditionally EFT began as a form of therapy for couples, but I think you said that you also work with individuals on the EFT format. Am I correct? Did you say that?
Yes. It's not using the same structured steps because the model of EFT for couples is very structured with distinct steps. What I would say is that EFT and that belief that we're all hardwired for strong emotional bonds, that we need secure attachment, that informs my individual work as well.
Okay. Because it sounds like it's an incredibly effective type of therapy. And one of the things that stood out in my mind when you mentioned that negative emotion, what you get to is behind someone's complaint or certain behavior or the negative emotions that drive that behavior. And I would think on an individual level, we all face those issues, our own demons and the issues around our feelings and feelings of insecurity about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that this would be extremely effective on a one-on-one basis too. In individual therapy. So I guess I'm surprised that I've not, I could be wrong in making this assumption that it's not as well known on an individual level as it is for couples.
Correct. I think that's correct.
Okay.
But it definitely is used, and there are trainings and workshops and applications for it in individual therapy as well as in family therapy.
Right.
Naomi, when we had lunch, this is a great question, caller. It's a great question because it kind of gets to, how it looks, how it actually looks in application. I'm wondering, when we had lunch recently, you were talking about the use of it in individual. Could you give the caller an example of something you might do as a therapist working with an individual that would be more of an EFT type intervention?
Sure. So I might be, I would say I'm always in individual sessions working with somebody who has some kind of relationship, right? Even if it's not a romantic relationship, it might be a relationship with a child or with a coworker. And so what I will do, because again, I in my individual work, I just think that the place where people change is kind of dropping to those deeper emotional kind of roots. So as an example, and this would be using EFT language, I might ask somebody, they might be talking about something, and I might sort of help them get to the root of it is, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm good enough. And then what I would ask them, which would be using EFT language, is, do you think your, and it might be your partner or your child or your boss or whomever, do you think they know that? Do you think they know that about you? And usually people will say, no, they probably don't, because I make it look like I don't have any needs, or, I'm just always there for everybody else. And then I might say, well, what would it be like to share that part of yourself with this person? And, for many people, because most of us grow up in families that teach us how to work through emotional conflict productively. So, and again, what could be more emotionally charged than a marriage, right? So many people will notice that if I ask them to even imagine saying something like that to somebody, they'll say, I don't think I could do it. I would just be way too exposed. So that's an example of bringing EFT to individual work.
That is a lot clearer. Thank you very much. It sounds really fascinating. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And thank you, caller. Thank you for your question. That was very helpful.
No, not at all. My pleasure.
Now,
thank
Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi, I'm wondering, could you explain to listeners how EFT actually looks different structurally? So if I were part of a couple coming in to see you as an EFT therapist, what could I expect in the way of numbers of sessions and how the sessions would go, et cetera? Because my understanding is that it is very structured. So I'm wondering if you could illustrate that a bit.
Well, this is where I will tell you my experience versus what the much more experienced and perhaps far more talented therapists like Sue Johnson say. So EFT is very, it's a wonderful model because it has specific steps and stages. And it is, I believe that it is intended to be a relatively short-term model. If you go to some of the websites, it will say, well, you know, typically between maybe 8 and 15 sessions. I haven't found that it works that quickly in typical cases. So, it depends on how experienced the EFT clinician is. But the steps are pretty clear, and what you can expect in the beginning, because we really don't, we want to step out of making each other the enemy. So the beginning steps are going to be to help the couple identify their dance or their pattern. So when you say this, he or she says this, ah. And then when they say that, you tell yourself this, ah. And so you identify the pattern, because what you want to do as quickly as possible is get to de-escalation, right? We want, because that doesn't feel good for anybody. So we want people to quickly be able to identify when they're in it and then give them tools so they can step out of it when it happens at home. And then we move on to the deeper, so there's basically three stages. So then we eventually move on to the deeper places, those things that I was talking about where people really drop down to the very vulnerable places. Obviously, depending on if there's been some what we would call injuries, it might take a while to rebuild safety and get to a place where people can move to the deeper work.
So it's quite structured, it sounds like, and but it also sounds like you're helping people in the beginning really kind of take a meta view. I think of it as a meta view where they're like, it's kind of a bird's eye view looking at their process. So they're kind of separating from it and examining it.
Perfect.
And looking at where they get stuck.
Yes, that's a perfect description. Yes.
Okay. Some couples come to mind where they come in and they're doing that naturally. They're not really getting hung up on content and the what that they're fighting about, but they're talking almost from square one about how the fight goes, who's doing what in the dance. And it sounds like you really, the beginning part of this work is helping people do that. Now,
yeah, that's really excellent overview. And I didn't mention this, but you just caught on to it. In EFT, we're largely unconcerned with the content. I don't want to say that it doesn't matter at all, because again, if somebody has had an affair, there are injuries that can happen in relationships, right? You know, if our partner has been inaccessible or unresponsive, if they betrayed our trust, if they have failed to respond at times of when we've had urgent need for support and caring. You know, we may have to do some injury repair, but EFT is absolutely more concerned with process than content.
Okay. Well, that kind of gets to one of my next questions, which was, what kinds of couples issues? Are there any particular issues that would be considered particularly relevant for this work and workable versus when EFT would be considered contraindicated, just on an issues level?
Yeah, I don't think there's any issue at all that would be contraindicated. The only times when EFT, I would not recommend doing EFT is if there's ongoing physical abuse. There, nobody's going to feel safe and be able to open up and do this work. If there is ongoing untreated substance abuse. Contraindicated because that needs to be at least under treatment. And I don't see the point in doing couples therapy, any kind of couples therapy, not just EFT, if there's ongoing affairs. If somebody's having an affair while they're in couples counseling, I don't really see the point. But other than that, the topic is, I can't think of a topic that wouldn't be fine for EFT.
Okay. Okay. So the topics are less relevant than the dynamics that are going on with the couples.
Right.
You know, like something abusive. Okay. Okay. That's helpful. Well, I would like to take a moment for a break, a commercial break. And I would ask that our listeners stay tuned for more key information about EFT from Naomi, who's a wealth of information. She's very one down and very humble, but I think Naomi knows a lot more than she gives herself credit for. So stay tuned for more information about EFT. I just wanted to tell you briefly about a service that I've been providing and seeing is very applicable and noting an enormous amount of success with. It's discernment counseling. I, at this point in time, as far as I know, am the only therapist in New Hampshire who's vetted to do this work. I'm working towards certification. Discernment counseling is for couples who are on the brink of divorce, what we call mixed agenda couples, where one partner is leaning out, maybe having already contacted a lawyer or done some legal action and feeling kind of done but hasn't pulled the trigger on a divorce. And the other partner is feeling more hopeful about staying together, has more energy and more wish to save the marriage or stay in the marriage. So it's for couples who are in a very, very divided place. And it was developed to help avoid premature, half-hearted couples therapy, which presumes a certain amount of mutual energy to work on improving things. Discernment counseling, I'm providing the service, and it is not about skills and tools, but it is about helping these couples who are on the brink get to a point of making a clear, more confident decision about a direction for the marriage. And that would be either stay in the marriage as it is, so stay in the status quo, or move toward a split, in which case I would refer the couple to collaborative divorce professionals to effect the most healing divorce, or making a decision to do the work of reconciliation and repair. And discernment counseling is also like EFT, only this is really short-term treatment. It's 1 to 5 sessions max, and couples only sign on for one session at a time. They can make a decision at any point in those, either after one session or after 2 or after 5. And if there's a decision to do the work of reconciliation and repair, and in my experience, often that does happen as we kind of look at the ambivalence and hold and honor that, then we would stop discernment counseling and move toward regular couples therapy for a period of up to 6 months with divorce off the table in an all-out effort to strengthen and save the marriage. So anybody who's interested in this treatment, I would recommend that you go to my website, susanlager.com, and go to the discernment counseling page where I have more information about it. I also have links on that page to the Dougherty Relationship Institute, which I'm a member of, the people who originated this treatment and did all the research. There is wonderful information about it, and I think what you will find is it's an alternate treatment for couples who are not yet ready to say, let's improve our marriage. And I've experienced tremendous success for it. And success can be, by the way, success is making a decision and not staying in this horrendous kind of limbo world of the status quo. All right, so that's it. Now, if you're just joining us, I've been talking with Naomi Rather. Jill Fisher, if you were thinking she would be on the show, is unfortunately out sick. But I've been talking with Naomi Rather, a psychotherapist, about her transformational emotionally focused therapy work with couples. So now back to our show with more information. Naomi,
yes.
Thank you so much for your insights and your information so far.
Sure.
One question I wanted to ask you was, what would be examples of possible or predictable outcomes and changes in couples' interaction as a result of this work?
I have to tell you, I think it's like night and day. It would be, I wonder if there, you know, it'd be really interesting if couples would ever be, who have gone through it or who have taken a Hold Me Tight workshop, would be willing to be interviewed. People find it really transformational. Again, you think about how vulnerable we are in a marriage, right, or in any kind of committed relationship. It's sort of like our security is in the hands of this other person, and that's a pretty risky thing, right? That it's a big risk to expose ourselves like that. And when people go from feeling afraid and on guard, hypervigilant, you know, they can't be calm, to that place again of deep connection. They feel grounded and centered and safe. They are able to identify and put language to their own inner subjective experiences, and they know that their partners will show up for them. Or they know that if they ask for what they need and their partners miss a tune, they can say, hey, I think you missed it. You know, this is what I need right here. And their partner shows up. You know, I kind of feel like that gives you a secure base, right? So if it's that secure within the walls of your own home, within the walls of your own relationship, I think that makes it easier to go out and be out in the world. And certainly research backs up that people that have this kind of a relationship have fewer mental health issues, less depression, they have fewer physical ailments. So I just think it's transformational. And I would also add that people who are able to interact in this way, who have children, then expose their children to what it's like to be able to resolve conflict in this productive way. And so for me, it's really exponential what can flow from this work.
Wow. And are you finding that couples are able to sustain those changes on their own, or do they need to come back to you for a tune-up?
No, that's what I really like about this model. When I was just purely doing the cognitive behavioral, what I found was people, it would work for a while, and then just like I said, they would get in a triggered place and they wouldn't be able to access those skills. And what I like about EFT is it's you can sort of think of it if the other way is going from the outside through the brain, you know, kind of down into the heart. EFT kind of starts at the heart and then it goes up to thinking. So I think it changes the root. And this really tends to be, my experience is, and I do think the research backs this up, this tends to be permanent change. And I,
wow,
as a therapist, I kind of joke, I don't do the Woody Allen kind of therapy where you keep coming for 30 years. I wouldn't consider that successful. We want to, right, we want to make our jobs obsolete. We want people to not need us.
Right, right. You know, I'll often say that to couples, you know, I feel like I've done a good job when you really don't need me anymore and when you don't look forward to seeing me anymore. People don't
exactly
get that, but that's great. Now,
yeah.
One mechanical question, is there any insurance coverage for this work, or how does it fit with the whole insurance frame?
Yeah, so different therapists may or may not accept insurance, and different plans may or may not cover this. There are some different websites, and I can give them to people, and maybe you're going to put them on your blog. That would definitely be on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. You know, one of the dilemmas I have with insurance and couples work is that the insurance is predicated on the old medical model where one person has a behavioral health diagnosis and the work is supposedly centered around that. And in most couples work, you know, that I do, that's not the case, unless that is the case where someone has bipolar disorder and the partner is in the room to help with the bipolar disorder. But it's usually around relational distress and around some disrupted attachment. And So in my experience, it's trying to make a square peg fit into a round hole, but it sounds like, you know, that's kind of dealt with on a case-by-case basis here.
Yes, and again, I just think there are so many different plans that cover so many different things. That might be something that it's good for a person to check with their own, you know, insurance plan.
Okay.
Because I agree with what you're saying, and these plans tend to change so much. I wouldn't think any one therapist would know every single person's plan. So that's probably
right.
A good question
right.
for a client to ask. Yep.
Now, I'm just wondering, just in terms of time, could you share with our listeners some suggested readings?
Yes. So I love the book Hold Me Tight by Sue Johnson. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's great when both people in a couple read it, you know, maybe get it on tape and listen to it together and have conversations along the way. I think it's well written. It's easy to follow, and it gives a lot of case examples, and it really helps you understand, even though, again, I think this model is quite transformative, but if the research shows 70 to 75% of couples really change from it, then, you know, there might be 20% of couples who say, you know what, I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want, that's not the connection that I'm looking for, and that might not be for them. And if you read Hold Me Tight, that kind of gives you a sense as to whether that sounds like something you would like to have.
Okay. What about the book Love Sense?
Yeah, and I also like her newer book, Love Sense, and she, Dr. Johnson has some really interesting things in there, and she's got a section in there that I think is very, very astute. She talks about how love fails, and I feel like she really captures it. You and I know, Susan, that the love that you feel for partner is really different than, say, the love that you would feel for a child. You know, our partner can do things that would really push us away. That kind of romantic love, it can erode, it can fade, or we can have, as I said, these really big ruptures if our partner is unresponsive or they're inaccessible to us, they fail to respond. And I think sometimes, you know, I don't know if it's connected necessarily with youth, but I think sometimes we think, oh, okay, well, you fall in love and then this is your partner and then you can just go ahead and put the relationship on automatic pilot and it will be fine. And you and I know that's actually not the case. You know, it requires care and feeding. And again, I do believe that we all long for connection, but that connection is not automatic. You know, we have busy lives and there's a lot of things that compete for our time. And
mm-hmm.
I think if we take our eye off the ball, you know, there can be a slow erosion, as Sue Johnson calls it. So I think there's really valuable things in these books that, you know, maybe they won't be completely shocking, but we haven't seen them written in this way before. And so I think they let us think about it in a different way, think about relationships in a different way.
Okay. We are going to have to stop. I'm quite sure I have Hold Me Tight as suggested reading on my website. I can include the other one as well if it's not already there. Just in terms of time, Naomi, you had also mentioned suggested workshop, Hold Me Tight workshops that are conducted. Now, are you doing any of those, or is that something Jill Fisher would be doing?
I am not personally doing that, but there are many highly trained, highly skilled EFT clinicians throughout New England. And if you go to newenglandeft.com, you will be able to see these weekend workshops. I know there's one in Needham scheduled for the first weekend in December, and then there's one over Valentine's weekend scheduled in Northampton, Mass. Those are the two that I know off top of my head, but you'll find other ones throughout New England throughout the year.
Okay. Great. Well, Naomi, thank you so much for your insights and information and your passion about this work. You obviously have found a form of treatment that really resonates, where you're really seeing results. And I really want to thank you for sharing that, not only with me individually last week, but on our program. So hopefully, you know, our listeners and callers in have learned something about this treatment. What I would say is that if you'd like more information about this treatment or to get on a waiting list, Naomi, I know you're full, but if you want to get on a waiting list with Naomi to work individually as a couple, and she may say no, but she'll at least direct you to the right place, you would go to naorather@gmail.com or
correct.
Call 603-431-6677, extension 365, right?
Correct. And again, there are many really excellent, highly, highly skilled EFT-trained clinicians throughout New England. And so I'm very happy to give referrals to those folks as well.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Naomi. I really appreciate
your
input.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
Anytime, anytime. I'm sure I'll be asking you back. And, you know, maybe when I'll be pulling Jill on the air at some point when she's well, and hopefully you can join us then.
That would be great.
So my next, yeah, take care. Take care, Naomi. My next episode will be on Wednesday, December 14th, 2016 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the topic and the possible guests will be announced. So good night, everyone. And I hope, I really hope you enjoy the show. I know I did. And you can go to my sites to get a little bit more post-show information. Take care.